This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up this hour, Al Horford's going to join us for the Boston Celtics. He'll drop on by in about 18 minutes from now, so stick around for that. Also, the best audio of your day later on in the hour, and that includes Robert Kraft at the Patriots Parade. Six of those bad boys for the Patriots since the 2001 magical season for the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So just good to see a championship-starved city finally get another title. Also, good to see it being 50 degrees outside yesterday in Boston so that Gronk could be shirtless. I would have hated if it was bitterly cold and snowing and miserable so that all those people had to sit out there and get frostbite. I'm just so glad that Boston happened to be in the middle of February on the day that they win their sixth championship, 53 degrees. Must be nice. As always, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Mraz, in the grand scheme of things, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, who is your most despisable, who are you most sick of, Patriot person?
Gronk. Because I will at least give Belichick and Brady being the greatest ever at each position now. Right, head coach and quarterback. Gronk is, as much as he's going to be a Hall of Famer, you know, if Gronk ends up drafted by the Buffalo Bills or drafted by the Arizona Cardinals, could he have been a dominant tight end? Sure, but I don't think he's ever Tony Gonzalez. I don't even think he's Antonio Gates. Gronk takes his victory lap like he's, you know, a hero. He's going to go be a celebrity, an actor, a wrestler. And he never has all of that if not drafted into an organization with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
And oh, by the way, becoming like a wrestler and a lunkhead and a beer chugger and a Yo Soy Fiesta and a sex boat kind of guy, he doesn't have any of that unless he's winning titles in New England.
Gronk is Jeremy Shockey. And Jeremy Shockey has long since been forgotten about. And oh, by the way, Shockey did win a Super Bowl. Actually, technically, it's two Super Bowl rings. But they were the same lunkheads, partiers, let me do whatever I want. One just happened to play in, you know, every Super Bowl known to mankind and with the greatest quarterback and coach ever, so was always in the spotlight and could spin off everything in a career of it. See, the thing is, when Edelman retires, and you can say the same thing about Edelman, you know, okay, we can have this Hall of Fame debate. Nobody's going to remember Julian Edelman, more or less, where we're going to talk about him. He's always going to be in front of our face. He's never going to be in commercials or anything like that. I feel like Gronk, long after he is gone, is going to constantly be in all of our faces in some way, shape, or form on TV and everything. And it's just going to make me nauseous, and I'm going to be so tired of it. And it all stems from just being right place, right time.
So I actually think that Gronk is way more committed than Jeremy Shockey and less of a human disaster that Shockey was, so I would give him more credit than that. But there is absolutely a right time, right place for all of this Patriots success. I mean, let's face it. If Tom Brady is drafted by the Arizona Cardinals in 2000, and he is passed over by every team six times, essentially, he doesn't have six championships because there's no way he has this last one. Belichick's defensive scheme completely bamboozles Jared Goff. Brady had a below mediocre Super Bowl. He also didn't have his first Super Bowl because, again, he didn't have to carry the team. That was all an incredible defense with multiple Hall of Famers on it. Now that Ty Law is in. And Julian Edelman, if he's a seventh-round draft pick by the Detroit Lions, nobody's ever heard of him. I mean, there's just no doubt that does he build his career? Do you give him credit for working with Brady and working within this offense and doing the right things? Of course. But let's face it, ain't nobody talking Hall of Fame with Julian Edelman if he's a member of the Lions. It's just not happening.
He might have lasted 4 years in the NFL.
If that. The Patriots get the most out of their players, no doubt about it. But there is kind of this perfect storm to all of it. And they take bows and victory laps as though they created it. And that they are this kind of self-made monstrosity. And look, it's been really fortunate that the Dolphins and the Bills and the Jets have been a 20-year train wreck. Had the Patriots-Belichick-Brady thing come along in the 70s, well, now you're running up against the perfect Dolphins team with multiple Hall of Famers and Shula in his prime. They ain't winning six championships. If they come along in the 90s with the Buffalo Bills, they ain't winning every division ever and six championships. If they run into the Jets in the 1960s with Joe Namath, or even the 80s when the Jets are in the playoffs relatively consistently and have the New York Sack Exchange, they ain't winning six titles. You know, but there is this kind of birthright now that they're the greatest and they're the smartest and they're the best. And let's face it, a lot of this is tremendous fortune. And also, by the way, they drafted a murderer and gave him a contract extension, and it never sticks. They drafted Aaron Hernandez knowing his past at Florida and gave him a contract extension when he was already doing terrible things in the NFL off the field. And, you know what? How could you know? Well, no other team drafted Aaron Hernandez. How could you know, though? Never sticks. Model organization. I mean, boy, how differently things could go if we actually cared about a guy being a murderer in the NFL.
I couldn't agree more. It's amazing how much that slides. And one more thing on the Patriot fans, because I know there are a lot out there, and by no means, great, you're a Patriot fan, you've gotten all this. You know, you see a lot of the teams that have some success and some losing years, some success. When Tom Brady retires, and who knows what's going to happen with Bill Belichick, and this Patriot team, we can only hope, goes through a couple 5-11s, a 6-10, maybe a 3-13.
It'll happen.
Okay. What are those TV numbers going to look like? What are those jersey sales going to look like in New England? Because they're still up in Cleveland. They were up in Detroit.
Correct.
I think they've won so much that you're going to see and prove a lot of phoniness. A lot of people that tap out and go, ah, why do I care? Is Bon Jovi still sitting in that box?
No chance.
Through a 3-13?
No chance.
So all those who want to wave the banner and hold the not here signs and talk about how many people were at the parade, let's see in a couple years.
Well, it's easy.
Let's see you.
It's easy to be emotionally invested when you are grandfathered into the AFC Championship game every year. I mean, every single year, you know, the Patriots are winning the division next year. We don't even know what the offseason looks like. They step on the field, they win the division, so thus they have a home playoff game. It's easy to be a fan. Now, look, Boston, I believe, is one of the great, if not the greatest sports city we have. I lived it, I breathed it, I knew it, I worked in it. I think they're absolutely unbelievable, win or lose. But this entire run of success, when they've caught every possible break, has now morphed their reality into an unreality. They don't know what it's like. They don't know what it's like. And they never will now know what it's like, because even when they go 5-11 in 5 years, even when they have a string of 6-10s, they'll still have this 20-year run of being birthed into winning the division and going to the AFC title game, and thus being one game away every year from going to the Super Bowl. They won't understand it, because this will be too long of a time to forget. Bills fans are still showing up. They went to one playoff game in 20 years. Browns fans are still showing up. Bears fans are still showing up. These are real football towns. These are real football fan bases. This is a fan base. Those are fan bases that aren't thick or thin. That isn't only when they're good. It's thick or thin. In Pittsburgh, the Steelers could be absolutely miserable for multiple years. They're still showing up. In Philly, they're still showing up. Those are just different fan bases. And it's just a crying shame that Patriots fans have had this run of success and most of them can't really enjoy it because they're too busy fighting with all of us. It's made it very unenjoyable for anybody else to really respect because they are just so desperate to fight about all of it. Yesterday, they're fighting with themselves. Yeah, there are drunken mooks in every city. But I mean, this is your sixth championship, your second in 4 months in the city. Is it really the time to have a case of PBR and start throwing elbows and haymakers against your fellow Patriot fan? They just can't stop fighting. And it's amazing because also on social media, there is a lot of shoving your face in our success. There's a lot of Patriots fans shoving everybody's faces in Gronk and Edelman and the titles and Brady and Belichick and Kraft and everything. And it's like, hey, can you just be good winners for once? Just be good winners for once. Is that that hard? Lions fans haven't seen a playoff win. The Bills waited 20 years to get into the playoffs. They kicked a field goal. That's it. Bengals fans haven't won a playoff game in 25 years. Can't you just enjoy it? Do you really have to also remind us all that you're great? It's like, also, it's a great fan base. It's a great city. But you happen to be born at the right time and the right zip code. Had you been born on the other side of Connecticut, now suddenly you're not a Patriots fan. And also, by the way, if you're a Patriots fan and you don't live in New England, shame on you. Honestly, I see some kids on Instagram and social media being dressed up in Patriots gear by their families. They don't even live in New England. I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing? You are such frauds. You've jumped on this bandwagon because it's easy. Get them out. Honestly, I wish this was a Trash Tuesday. Get them out. If you don't live in New England or have direct ties to New England and you're a Patriots fan, fraud. Absolute front-running garbage fraud. Fraudulent. And you're forcing your kids to do this because it's easy to win? It's fun to win? Take a hike. It's all very difficult to stomach.
Take a hike. Take a hike, not used enough anymore.
I promise I'll get to the Nick Foles story coming up here later on in the hour, but when we come back, speaking of Boston, the Celtics have now won 5 straight games. Al Horford's going to join us here on the DA show next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
Can we do it? Let's see if we can do it. The DA show, CBS Sports Radio. Jim Rome coming up next. Mraz is clinging to life now as we try to kill him via eggnog, ladies and gentlemen.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The G-O-D-A impersonation is better than the DA doing DA impersonation. Glad you're with us on a fine Wednesday. Remember, there are so many different ways you can listen to the show, especially on your phone. Simply download the CBS Sports app, or if you use that for your sports news, listen to us there. Also, radio.com is a great place to listen to us. I listen to CBS Sports Radio on radio.com all the time. And also, Apple Music has a very smooth stream. Very smooth. You can also watch the show on any device, including your phone, at watchda.com. How funny would it be if all of these knockoff store brand Sean McVays that got hired this offseason, Matt LaFleur and Zach Taylor and Cliff Kingsbury, all of the guys that are supposed to be the next Sean McVay or friends of Sean McVay, how hysterical would it be if all of those guys, the generic store bought Sean McVays, flamed? And it was Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Patriots, that stymied McVay's offense. He ended up being the huge hire and the huge winner this offseason. We all know the generic store-bought cereal. It's like you really want Lucky Charms, but instead there's the bag of cereal that has some marshmallow stars and has a four-leaf clover on it. And you're like, all right, I'll buy the Lucky Stars. And like, I know it's not really Lucky Charms, but I'll get Lucky Stars in a bag, a clear bag. That's what all these guys are compared to Sean McVay. McVay is Lucky Charms. All these other guys are Lucky Stars. And Brian Flores, nobody wants the defense this year. But Flores ends up getting hired by the Dolphins after a tremendous performance by his defense, totally out-scheming the Rams and Sean McVay. How funny would that be as a turn of events? The Boston Celtics have won five straight games. They're coming off a win in Cleveland last night, 103-96. Now our next guest is a five-time All-Star. He's a big man, center/power forward for the Boston Celtics. Not only can play really well down low, but also is one of the good guys in basketball in the NBA. Joining us here on the show is Al Horford. Al, good morning. How you doing?
Hi, DA. I'm doing well.
I appreciate you joining us, big man. And, you know, you guys are on a little bit of a roll right now. How do you feel as a team, momentum-wise, energetically, cohesion, as now we've hit February and only a couple more months to go in the regular season?
Well, I feel good. I feel good about our group. You know, we've had some ups and downs throughout the season. I still don't think we are where we need to be or where we want to be as a team, but we're making a lot of progress. Offensively, it feels better out there, and our defense continues to stay strong.
You know, one of the concerns has been with those ups and downs that perhaps the young guys have not been ready for the pressure of expectations this year or picking up their end of the bargain. Do you feel like that's been a problem with the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs of the season for you guys?
I think that for all of us, it has been a challenge this year, just with all the expectations that we have as a group. I think last year we definitely overachieved, and we were really close to making the finals. And this year, I just think that it has taken time for everything to kind of come together as a group. But I think that all this adversity has actually made us stronger and better as a team, to be honest.
How do you scout the Sixers now that they've traded for Tobias Harris last night?
Man, that's a great player for them. Tobias is, you know, he's a guy that many people may not know about, but can really score the ball, can really shoot it. It definitely makes them better, and obviously it makes it more challenging when you have to play them. Just his ability to shoot the ball, to create for himself, and he's just another more talented player that they have added.
Al Horford, five-time All-Star, joins us from the Boston Celtics. A lot of news has been made about Kyrie Irving calling out the young guys. Then he had to kind of walk it back. He apologized for doing so. Did you talk to Kyrie about those comments?
No, I haven't really, you know, talked to Kyrie about it. You know, I think that obviously, you know, it's a long season. You know, that was an emotional game for us when he said those things. And as a team, you know, we're just, you know, we're moving forward and we're just trying to, you know, play the best way that we can.
Well, you've always been considered a real leader in the locker room. I think a lot of people really respect you, not only inside the locker room, inside the organization, but outside of that. I know in a media standpoint, everybody always talks very highly of you and how you compose yourself and how you act. And so leadership is interesting. It takes a different form with different players. Do you think it's the wrong move leadership-wise to be public about criticism of guys that you need more out of? Is it more impactful if you do it privately, which I'm guessing you have done over the course of your career?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that there's different ways that you go about things, and you know, with our group, you know, we have a strong locker room. I feel like, you know, guys are we're constantly trying to look out after each other, and things like that. and always staying together. That's the key for us. And there's going to be some moments of frustration that happens. And the hope is that, you know, through all the adversity, through all the situations that we can be in, that we can stick together and be even better as a team.
You guys will have to rely on young players. It is part of the nucleus of what makes you guys great. And so will you have to align with Kyrie, since you guys are veterans, in how to handle the young guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we have a lot of confidence in all of our players, you know, in any position that it is, any point of the game. You know, we have our guys, as long as everybody's buying in, which that has been the case, we're all buying into it together. We're trying to do the right things, trying to play the right way with one another. And I think as long as we continue to do that, we have been getting better from the beginning of the season. It's been very noticeable. And now I feel like we can take that even another step to get ready for the postseason.
It's going to be an interesting Eastern Conference postseason, because the Bucks are so good this year, the Raptors are so good, the Sixers are good, you guys are good. It's going to be really interesting in the East. Al Horford joins us here on the show. You know, Anthony Davis's dad said he didn't want AD to play in Boston because of how the front office treated Isaiah Thomas. What did you make of those comments?
You know, I think that, you know, his dad is obviously looking for Anthony's best interest. I think everybody's entitled to, you know, to have their opinions and say how they feel. And that's something that you know, that they will have to figure out when the time comes.
Does loyalty within that organization worry you at all in how IT was dealt?
You know, I think that we're in a business, that the NBA, it is a business ultimately, and one of the things is that you want to do things the right way, you want to compete, you want to play hard, and control the things that you can, and I think that as players, you know, we have to, you know, look out for ourselves and our future, and the organization has every right to do the same thing.
All-star Al Horford joining us here on the show from the Boston Celtics. Now, Horford is the first ever Hispanic athlete to join the roster of Built with Chocolate Milk. And chocolate milk, we've all grown up drinking. It's always still delicious. And Al considers this his secret weapon. So what makes chocolate milk your secret weapon there, Al?
Man, chocolate milk is just great for recovery. You know, and really, after a hard game or a hard workout, that's what I drink. It just has, you know, it just has everything that I need, the proteins, the carbs, electrolytes, and all this is, you know, it's backed by real science. So I know that it's legitimate and it has worked for me, and I feel great drinking it.
Al Horford joining us this morning on the show. You can go to builtwithchocolatemilk.com for more information. builtwithchocolatemilk.com. Al, appreciate the time, man. Good luck down the stretch. Good luck in the postseason. We'll be watching.
Thanks, DA.
You got it. Al Horford joining us this morning on the show. This is why you must listen to the DA shows, because you get health tips from all different types of sports superstars. Today, it's Al Horford and chocolate milk. Last week, it was Jerry Rice and Hennessy. So there's
Hennessy.
There is all types of yin and yangs here on the DA show.
French onion, bacon, horseradish, buttermilk, ranch.
Hennessy.
I'm a little floater, chocolate milk with some Hennessy. Should be pretty good.
If you had just worked out, Marais, you go to the gym, you do your cardio, you do a little lifting, you get home, you're sweaty, you're hot, you open up the fridge, there's a Gatorade, there's water, and there's chocolate milk. What are you going with?
I'm going water. Going water. But after I shower, go get some breakfast, I'll pound a Nesquik with anybody.
There's no question. I love chocolate milk. I don't know the last time I drank it, but I love it.
Oh, come on.
Well, I don't find myself around chocolate milk a lot.
Well, time out. You don't ever go out to breakfast or go get a bagel, go get a donut. Never in a morning? You're just living off Cliff Bars your whole life? Come on now.
Is that the two sides? Either it's only Clif Bars or you pound chocolate milk? I don't know.
I'm just saying if you get breakfast, you're naturally either going to get an OJ or chocolate milk.
I'm just not around a lot of third grade cafeterias in this point in my life.
Third grade cafeterias? Go to any diner. You sit down and mix it up there. Let's go. IHOP? You've never been to an IHOP?
I've been to an IHOP. I guess I just never get the chocolate milk. No.
Because I know you're not a coffee drinker. So what are you drinking, you mutant?
Well, I suppose if I was at an IHOP, I would get an OJ. Yeah, probably an OJ. Maybe an apple juice or water.
If you tell me you drink it with pulp, I'm going to slap you upside your head.
I don't mind a little pulp.
Come on, DA!
Fine. Not too much pulp, a little pulp.
No, it's either no pulp OJ or chocolate milk, and that's it.
I like OJ, though. I do. I like OJ with my breakfast or a juice.
Just to clarify, we're talking about orange juice,
yes.
Not OJ Simpson.
Yeah,
okay.
No. So I'm in on the fruit
wait,
juice.
Wait, was that really a concern?
Well, you never know how things can be taken out of context. You say
pretty
I like
sure
OJ.
No one was going to think I'm on OJ Simpson, but all right.
I'm a huge OJ Simpson supporter.
Chocolate milk or the juice or OJ.
Or the Hall of Fame running back. I don't know. Bogus, maybe you're around more chocolate milk these days
than
I am.
You got to get a kid.
Yeah, right.
There is something defeating about, as an adult, ordering a chocolate milk at a diner. Now, grab it out of the container, the freezer, the deli, fine. But to be like to a waiter... Another adult, can I have a chocolate milk?
Yeah, it seems
that's
weird.
Tough. So you get a kid, they love chocolate milk, then you can drink
theirs. Yeah, if I had a kid, I'd have chocolate milk around the house, I would totally drink it. Yes. I'm not anti-chocolate milk. I just don't find myself around it a lot.
I don't have a kid. I'm around it all the time.
Well, you have no soul either, so.
No, because I know it tastes good.
Well, you're also a 7-year-old at heart, and you're oversized.
You just heard from Alex Helfi. How dare you? How dare you correlate?
Bilotti, do you find yourself around chocolate milk?
No, the last time I found myself around chocolate milk, it was sitting on a tray with chicken nuggets.
Right, and I had chocolate milk. Yes.
The sophisticated palate in of middle Pizza school. Body Bilotti.
In middle school.
Yes, I drank chocolate milk with my lunch every single day, probably throughout all of my years in school. I just don't find myself around chocolate milk a lot anymore. If I go to a deli and I go get a bagel or something for breakfast, I just don't. My inclination is not to go grab the chocolate milk out of the fridge.
You're missing out on life.
It is delicious.
It's very sad.
It's very delicious. I agree. But, I mean, I don't know. We have three actual adults here, then Mraz, and the three actual adults don't drink the chocolate milk a lot.
Makes sense.
And who's the happiest of the four of us? Me.
Well, that's probably true. You are very happy.
Thank you.
Yes. Ignorance is bliss. When we come back here on the show, your best audio of the day, including Robert Kraft after yesterday's championship or during the parade. And I'll get into that Nick Foles story about whether the Eagles are screwing him with a franchise tag. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
What we're doing.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Clear your throat with us every single morning, 9 until noon, here on CBS Sports Radio Eastern Standard Time. 6 until 9 a.m. on the Pacific, on the West Coast. The DA Show toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Matt tweets, newish affiliate from here in Southern Oregon, 96 won the game. I was critical at first of the show, but now it makes a lot more sense to me. Battle of the Bulge and Get Full were riveting. Well, anytime you have Mraz versus Huge Freeze in a football pick'em contest, not knowing what song Huge is going to sing every Thursday, I agree. Riveting radio. Totally got to be locked in. You never know what 80s jingle Huge is going to sing next. And I'm glad you enjoyed Get Full, our behind the scenes of Super Bowl week. And I tend to believe that's what happens with the show. You listen to it at first, and it does not sound like other sports talk radio. And I've talked about this before. I'm cut from a slightly different cloth, and I always have been. And I think when I was young, it was a little scary because you just want to be normal. You just want to be like other kids. I remember I was in second grade, and a girl came up to me in class and said, you know, you're weird. And I didn't know whether I should take that as a compliment or a critique? Like, was she making fun of me or was that a compliment? Because I liked being weird, but then, you know, you're in school and being weird is not cool. Being normal is cool, and I never was quite normal enough. And so when I got into this business, I said, I just don't want to sound like all these other sports radio shows that I find to be just so boring. If I'm going to do this, I got to do it my way. And it's like a coach that says, to hell with what the owner wants. If I get fired, let me go down guns a-blazing. And so I think when you listen to the show, it does not sound like normal sports radio shows. And if you are conditioned to listen to other sports radio shows, just hot take upon hot take, caller after caller, heavy, heavy doses of sports at all times, and can't really poke fun of itself, doesn't really understand the sense of humor you need to have in this kind of crazy, mixed-up sports radio world that we are in, this show sounds different, and maybe it's a little disconcerting. But if you listen to it long enough, you start getting it. You understand the jokes. You understand the personalities. You understand that we can't take anything all too seriously because it's only sports. And that's when it starts creeping into your brain like a worm, and then it's really hard to shake. And I'm glad, Matt, that you were honest, because I do think it takes some time. But once you get it, it's really hard to shake it. I mean, yesterday I was off. I missed the show. I was off for a day. I missed it. It's just hard to shake. Matt is next up. He's in Los Angeles listening on the radio.com app. Good morning, Matt.
DA, word up, nation of D-aliens, much respect, including my man Luis in Palmdale by way of Cancun. Hey, I caught your tweet yesterday, though, brother, and I'm loving it, man. About the whole PED thing, the duality, man, it's time for, I think, us as sports fans to either accept it all or to, you know, just continue to put the black eye behind it, because like, you know, PED use, to me, I think it should be across the board, either all in or all out. But I don't like the fact that, you know, this guy Edelman is skating on the fact that he was suspended for 4 games. You know, I mean, hey, he had a hell of a year, had a hell of a performance in the Super Bowl, but come on, guys, Hall of Fame. Hey, if he's going to be in there, then we got to start opening the doors for all PED users.
Well, isn't that interesting, Matt? I mean, I just find this to be incredible. Incredible. Because, and this has nothing to do with my Patriots fatigue or whatnot. This is just to do with, across two sports, the complete hypocrisy amongst what we think about PEDs. In baseball, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are pariahs forever. Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez, Big Mac, Sammy Sosa, Rafael Palmeiro, they have to basically go into hiding if they ever test positive for PEDs or we connect them to steroids. And Hall of Fame?
Oh.
Hall of Fame? Are you kidding me?
They were nuts.
And this is 10 to 15 years after they've all retired. Julian Edelman was suspended for PEDs this year. He was suspended for the first month of the season this year. And during the broadcast, Nance and Romo never even cited that when they were drooling all over Edelman. And then the moment the game ended and they went to the post-game analysis on the studio set, Nate Burleson, who you guys know I love, and Boomer, who I also love, are basically arguing back and forth about who knew Edelman should go to the Hall of Fame first. And I just find this to be hypocritical or hysterical or ridiculous. Just simply that in baseball, you don't even have to fail a PED test and you are never allowed to look at the Hall of Fame. In football, you could fail a PED test and in the same season win Super Bowl MVP, and it's never even brought up, but we're talking about Hall of Fame. And I pointed this out. And this is another thing about Patriots fans. It's like, my God, I might as well have spit at church. I mean, as though as though I had said the worst thing of all time. And people keep bringing up, well, Peyton Manning, what about his HGH shipment? What about Von Miller? What about his suspension for PEDs? And I said all along, this is not about Edelman or the Patriots. I'm saying it about all of those guys. Now, Peyton Manning's a little different because he didn't test positive, and he claims it was his wife who wanted the HGH, which, let's face it, sounds questionable at best. And Von Miller, not quite the same because he was suspended 3 years before he won Super Bowl MVP, so it wasn't the same year. And as soon as the game was over, it wasn't like we were only talking about whether Von Miller's deserving of the Hall of Fame. I just find that this is such a crazy mashup that he was suspended this year. And within the year, we forgot about the suspension and started talking about the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame! And I know that if Peyton Manning was suspended for the HGH and won the Super Bowl MVP that year, everybody in Boston, it would be the only thing we talked about. I know. I've done shows there. I worked there for 4 years. I did radio. I did TV. I did 5 hours a night on radio and regular TV hits. It'd be the only thing we talked about. So shoe on the other foot, we pick and choose our villains. This is not a Boston thing. This is just about the hypocrisy amongst all of it. When it's your college that's cheating and recruiting violations, no big deal. When it's the other team, huge deal. When it's your guy that gets suspended for PEDs, no big deal. When it's the other guy, he's not allowed in. Don't let him look at the Hall of Fame. And I find that incredibly hypocritical. And from a media standpoint, can we at least mention that Julian Edelman this year was suspended? I'm not digging up ghosts of the past. This isn't 3 years ago like Von Miller. He got suspended this year, and as soon as the season was over, hey, can we put this guy in the Hall of Fame yet or what? Time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Brian Flores, new Dolphins head coach.
I wasn't in a rush to become a head coach. I really wasn't. You know, I had a good job in New England. I wasn't in a rush, you know. And I talked this over with Jenny and my family, and we talked about it. We said we're not going to be in a rush. It's got to be the right fit. It's got to be the right place. You have to have the right feel.
Well, I got a lot of reasons to root for Brian Flores. Number one, I love that a defensive guy could be a young, hot coordinator and then get a head coaching job because now it's all about offense, and I would love to see that evened out. I also am rooting for him as an African-American head coach simply because we don't have enough of those in a league that is 70% African-American, and because we don't have equal representation at head coach amongst that, I think it's really important for guys that are African-American for diversity purposes and for trust from owners and GMs to succeed. So I really hope he does well to open up the door so that people say, I want the next Brian Flores, because I think we need more voices from different areas, defense and offense, white and black and Latino. I think male and female. I think we need more voices and more eyes and more positions of influence around the NFL to get more out of what the NFL can be. Zach Taylor is the new Bengals head coach.
Moving forward, we will establish a culture of high standards and clear communication on and off the field. And we're talking meetings, walkthroughs, practice, everything. These players want to be held to a high standard, and we're going to do that.
We'll see if we can change the culture. I mean, let's face it. This was the best run Bengals fans have had in 35 years with Marvin Lewis, even though they actually couldn't win a playoff game. They were competitive. They made the playoffs 5 times. They couldn't win one. But now Zach Taylor needs to only win a playoff game to jump over that bar. It was time for Marvin Lewis to go, clearly. Let's see if Zach Taylor is generic cereal brand Sean McVay, though. And finally, Robert Kraft celebrating another championship.
It was the most exhilarating feeling. You know, we need things to bring people together in today's world. And seeing the smiles and positive energy, we had the blitz for 6, and we completed our mission.
That is hysterical, that this is unifying. Yeah, in Boston, everybody else hates you guys. That's courtesy of NFL Network. Had the Chiefs won a Super Bowl, I think we could all feel pretty good, largely by and large, unless you're a Broncos fan or you really hate the Chiefs for some reason. Young quarterback, long-suffering fan base, unbelievable sports city, a great organization, old-school organization. There's a reason we could all unify. The Patriots winning again only makes you guys more hateable, and we all hate you. I mean, I hate to break it to you, but we all hate you. Not unifying, definitely, unless we are supposed to be unified in our hatred of you guys. And that is your sound check. I think the Eagles are doing good business here by signing and putting the franchise tag on Nick Foles. And I don't think it's screwing over Nick Foles. Some people do. I don't think it is, because I think there was only going to be a handful of teams that traded for Nick Foles anyway, and that the franchise tag is not going to dissuade them now from doing so. Yeah, it's a certain amount of money, but I think you were planning to spend that money on Foles anyway to be your starting quarterback. I don't think you're trading for Foles or signing Foles this day and age and not assuming he's your starting QB. So more on that when we come back, and plus the perfect MLB rules change.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.